Yeah, this is a pretty spectacular looking tree. I'm not sure if I've seen too many native crab apple trees, but this is by far the biggest one I've seen. And I think, you know, this characteristic that apple trees often have with the kind of plating, twisted bark, we really see it, an extreme example of it here. And just the size, where this plant is actually, I think, wider across than it is tall. I just think this is a fantastic looking tree, and it kind of has that sort of spooky Tim Burton kind of quality.
That's interesting you say Tim Burton. I was thinking Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking kind of tree that kids would just love to climb and be in. And
oh yeah, and you know, also it's funny. I don't know when you saw The Wizard of Oz last time, but those apple trees that Dorothy and her crew encounter, those actually look a lot like apple trees. They the set designers actually
did their homework. Huh?
Yeah, they yeah. They looked at some botanical illustrations. This is the Pinus contorta. It's our native one of our native pine trees, and you see there's two varieties. There's the lodgepole pine, which tends to grow tall like this one in stands, and then you've got the one that tends to grow at the timberline and on the shore, like the ones you see at Fort Worden growing out of the sand.
Yeah.
But they have a very different shape. Well, here's a cherry that's already blooming.
All right. See, it's the mild winter, yes?
Yeah, this one's usually gets started right now. I'm not sure what the variety is. This is Prunus subhirtula. But this is a very lovely single flower variety. The cherries at the quad, the Yoshino cherries, though, I think are by far the most fantastic. I always look forward to seeing them. So these look like salmon berries. When the salmon berries start to bloom, I find that there's a lot of hummingbird activity. And they have that kind of magenta flower, which really stands out. So here, now we're sort of coming into the witch hazel territory here. And you can see two sort of color variants here. And
look at that. That looks like an impressionist painting. I better stop and try that again.
Yeah.
So that's, there we go. Can I go back a little? Yeah. That's better. And then, so we have...
I think, yeah, this is a Chinese witch hazel.
This is the yellow one you're talking about.
Hamamelis mollis.
Camomillus.
Or Hamamelis.
Hamamelis, okay.
Hamamelis, I think is how it's spelled. And mollis, mollis.
So I better take that again. That looks a little blurry, too.
You might need to get up a little closer.
To get the real yellow and sort of the flower aspect of it.
Yeah, these the Chinese witch hazel. There's a Chinese and there's a Japanese witch hazel, and a lot of them are hybrids of the two. One thing I've found is the lighter the color, the more fragrant they tend to be. Also, I've found that the fall color on the leaves seems to have some relationship to the color of the flowers, too. Like, I find that these orange-flowered ones often have oranger leaves. Again, I haven't done any scientific study, but
just a recognition.
Yeah, so you can get up close and really get a...
Yeah, it's also kind of subtle.
It's subtle. And some of them have, again, more of a citrus scent. Well, there's one down here that we're going to see called the Pallida. Now this one, I think it's called Diane or Yelena. But a lot of these orange ones are hybrids between the Japanese and...
Do you know anything of the mythology of witch hazel?
No, I really don't know the I really don't know what sort of properties the or what yeah what the associations are, the literary folkloric but there must be some.
There's some kind of magic, as I recall doing the research when I was doing my graduate work, because there's a great passage in Patterson, and we've talked about this.
Oh yeah,
about you know, what lies under the witch hazel bush. And then I looked up witch hazel, and I think that I might have even seen something in the Witch's Almanac or something like that, you know, which has great stuff on plants in every edition. And there was something to that. I'm going to look that up and get back to you on that.
Well, it's interesting too, because it might be completely different association in Asia as in the Americas or Europe.
You know, the interesting thing, there's a book called J.C. Cooper's Illustrated Encyclopedia of Symbols, I think is what it's called, something like that. And that will have the different cultures and what these things represent, and, you know, Amerindian and European and Asian and that kind of thing.
Because, I remember, reading The White Goddess with all the references to the trees and being kind of fascinated.
Yeah, absolutely.